Thanks for joining us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're turning our attention now to a new cookbook. It's titled True North Cabin Cookbook, Volume 2, Seasonal Recipes from a Cozy Kitchen is the subtitle of it. And our guest is the author, Stephanie Hansen. She's also the host of Taste Buds with Stephanie and the social commentator behind the Weekly Dish radio show and Dishing with Stephanie Dish podcast. She's not busy at all. She lives in Golden Valley, Minnesota, and that's one thing I like, too. I like this Midwest vibe here. And as we talk with her, I want to hear from you. Maybe you've got a cabin up north. What do you eat when you're there? Are you looking for a dish maybe to bring to football Sunday or maybe Thanksgiving? You don't really have to have a cabin, for sure. I know that. I have a cabin, but I cooked one of the dishes right in my own home a week or so ago and really enjoyed it. So regardless if you have a cabin or not, you're going to like this book. You can join in with your own questions, maybe about recipes, maybe about the book. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. Stephanie Hansen, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm telling you what, I really enjoyed your book. What was the inspiration behind it?
I think when COVID happened, I was sitting at the cabin and I was with my 92-year-old mother-in-law. And the cabin's on an island in northern Minnesota on a very beautiful lake. And I started thinking about all of the time I spent with her and the recipes that were in our family heritage. And I really wanted to document them for my daughter and write down some of the things that people would always eat when they came to the cabin. And that was sort of the start of it. But then I kind of got into it because obviously cabin culture and cabin cooking is really about spending time with your family and your friends typically. So that first book was chronicled of May through September because the cabin is only available to get to by boat. So yeah, we have to close it down after Labor Day. And then the second book that came out, they said, hey, how about you complete the year? Then we can get the October, November, December holiday recipes, January, February soups. The March, April is barely spring is coming. You know, you have a little spring earlier than we do. But so that was sort of the narrative that I used to craft all the stories, to put the recipes together. And the first book is really like my family lore. But I found that the second book was really more the way that I actually cook and the way I like to cook and less of what like my grandmas and my aunties cooked and more of what I like.
Well, you have some wonderful recipes here. What is it about cooking in a cabin influences your cooking?
Yeah, I think it's just, again, like about being with your family, being with your loved ones. It's a place where you're truly your most at home, I think. Now, in Wisconsin, you guys call them cottages because I've been to a number of Wisconsin cottages. My whole family is from Wisconsin. My father was from the Wapaka, Wisconsin, and Appleton and that whole lakes area. We spent a lot of time there. I just feel like the coziness, that Midwest vibe, the ability to cook seasonally but not make it super complicated. Like all the recipes have ingredients that you can find at any small grocery store. Like that was a criteria. It couldn't be anything that was too fussy.
Well, that's what I really liked about the book. As you know, as I looked at the recipes, I could say, well, I've got that. I've got that. I've got that. I've got everything. I had, you know, the recipe that I made was grilled jerk chicken with coconut rice and mango salsa. And I spent a year at the University of the West Indies in Trinidad and worked in 8 Caribbean countries. So I had that going for me. And by the way, one of the things I really enjoy about your book are the stories you tell personal stories, some of them really funny, others heartwarming. And you spent time in the Caribbean. So I thought,
yeah,
well, I spent
my
time there.
My husband and I have sailed. We are sailors, and we started sailing when my daughter was 5. And I'm not sure why I agreed to do it, because it feels kind of scary, but we really have loved it. And the Caribbean has such great, they have different fruit, they have different vegetables, different foods. And that recipe, I just love coconut. I love coconut rice. And I think that recipe with the mango, it kind of brightens it up, but it is still sort of cozy and hearty.
Well, I've got to tell you, that mixture of spices for the chicken, okay, so we got 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken thighs, and you're going to grill, you know, I followed the rules or followed the recipe and grilled them. But when I saw, okay, we've got brown sugar, kosher salt, paprika, grated garlic, onion powder, cinnamon, so forth, I thought, I got all these. And then when I put and some oil, and so when I put them together, I thought, is this really going to be enough to cover 2 pounds? And, you know, put them in the plastic bag, covered it perfectly, and let it sit 4 or 5 hours, and then grilled it. And I'm going to tell you, even if I don't, well, I love the coconut rice. I'd never made it that way before in my Instant Pot. And the mango salsa that went with it, which another really simple thing to put together, but made such a huge difference in the final taste. This was I had my 22-year-old daughter home to visit, and she absolutely loved it, and I loved it. So pretty much all ages are going to love this one.
I loved it. I also love that you talked about your Instant Pot, because I'm sort of obsessed. They call me the soup queen. And in Minneapolis here, I do TV demonstrations, and I use my Instant Pot all the time. It's the best for cooking grains or beans.
Oh, it works. It worked really good, and it works really well. And it's frankly a less muss and fuss with that.
Yeah,
with that coconut rice and the mango salsa. Anyway, it is worth the price of the book. Is that one recipe? Right there.
Oh,
although there are many
so nice.
More, there are many more recipes that people are going to enjoy when they try them out. Tom in Waupaca has a comment here. Let's go there. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Larry and guests. I'm from Waupaca, where the guest says her father was from. And yes, we call them cottages in Waupaca, but I also have a cabin in Bayfield County. And Larry, you know, north of Highway 8, we call them cabins. So the difference between cottage and cabin isn't Wisconsin versus Minnesota. It's north or south of Highway 8.
Exactly. And our cabin is north of Highway 8 in Bayfield County, and it is called a cabin.
That's so funny. My husband is sailing Lake Superior this week and just went to Isle Royale and is sailing back right now to Bayfield.
Oh, well, he's sailing back to a wonderful place. Tom, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call there. Well, is there a recipe that captures cabin life for you? You know, which one most captures cabin life?
Oh, most captures. I mean, people always ask me what my favorite recipe is in this book. And I really do love the beer cheese wild rice soup, because I feel like it's cozy, it's soupy, it's got the beer, which I'm a beer person, but
me
I
too.
Also love wild rice. Probably, I mean, this book is so varied. Like, I have these pumpkin muffins that I really love that are from a resort on the lake called Burnside Lodge. It's a historic resort that's been there since the 1920s. And their daughter is the pastry chef, and she makes these wonderful pumpkin muffins. So I worked hard to try to recreate those. But there's also like a savory breakfast sausage casserole that's perfect for Christmas morning. My Swedish meatballs are sort of legendary, if I do say so myself. And those are in here because we have those every Christmas Eve. there is a fish chowder that I'm obsessed with that I think I first had at a place in Michigan off of Lake Superior, a chowder that kind of blew my mind. So I wanted to recreate a super creamy chowder with bacon and that Old Bay seasoning, because I used to live in Baltimore and I love that seasoning. Another recipe that people think is really hard, and it's not hard, you just have to perfect it because you've got to make the batter ahead of time, is popovers. And Marshall Fields and Dayton Hudson, I was a waitress in high school at Dayton's, and we would serve the popovers all the time. And just that really is a touchstone for me of how I grew up. And I've been a waitress since I was 14 years old. I'm not a trained chef. I'm a home cook. And somehow this has been like the fifth act of my career that all of a sudden people thought, hey, this lady's kind of funny. And Julia Child worked. So at the same age as Julia Child is, I have been experiencing this resurgence of this TV career, of the books, of the radio show that I've had for 18 years. People are listening. It's crazy. It's been super fun.
You mentioned popovers, and I haven't made popovers in a long time. I've got to pull the popover pan out and give that recipe a try.
It's good. There's a recipe in here that speaks specifically to Wisconsin in my life, and there's a supper club there called Simpsons that's in Wapaka that has been there for years, and they had this broiled scallop and broiled haddock dish. And I really worked hard to try to recreate it. And I'll tell you, I didn't. And because I couldn't, I had to modify the broiled scallops with a really delicious oven-baked risotto, because I don't know if you know this, but you don't have to stir risotto for 30 minutes. It's a myth. And then I made baked haddock with a breadcrumb topping because I couldn't get the seasonings exactly right as the supper club. But I love supper clubs. I love relish trays. I love that homey, warm, buttery feeling.
Oh, I do as well. I'll be going off on vacation in the near future, actually. And one of the things we'll be playing a lot of golf every day. But then we'll be looking into all of the supper clubs in the area, and having some fun trying them out. In my first introduction today, I mentioned chili. And the one chili that you mentioned, I think it was early, it's big beefy chili. And one thing that you added that I hadn't thought about was pumpkin puree.
Yeah.
Chili.
Yeah, you can really amp up a beefy chili with pumpkin puree because it gives it a little more richness. You can also add cinnamon. That also adds to the flavor. And then my mom, and this recipe is in the book too, my mom was from Stevens Point, and I don't know where this came up, but she would put elbow macaroni in her chili to, I think, extend it and to make it heartier, because we had four kids and obviously, you know, trying to make things go a little bit further. But we still we have two types of chili. We make the beefy chili, and then we make the elbow macaroni chili in homage to my mom. And pumpkin is really a versatile ingredient. My editor was like, look, you have 8 pumpkin recipes in here. Are you sure you don't want to cut a few out? And I was like, no, I love pumpkin.
Well, I thought, well, that's one I'm going to try out. And I actually mentioned it to Jill Nadeau, who said, I just made some myself with a pumpkin puree or with pumpkin. And she said, it was wonderful. You was really talking it up. So I thought, well, I had to bring that up on the show today. I also wanted to bring up the photos in your book are just wonderful. I mean, you want to eat the page.
That's so crazy, Larry, because, okay, so the first book, I researched hiring someone to do the photographs, and it was about $18,000. And I don't know if you know this, but if you're a reasonably successful cookbook author, your book's going to make about $15,000. Excuse me. So the math
wasn't work. There. The math was definitely not there for that.
So I had to do it myself.
Well, you did your... Oh, so you did it yourself, and I think we might have lost your voice. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. We got you there. And it was wonderful. I'm going to mention one more just in passing here, just because it shows that we don't have to do everything all the time, and that was the Gruyere puff pastry with sun-dried tomatoes. And you know what? You can go and buy yourself a sheet of frozen puff pastry. You don't have to do it. You don't have to make it yourself.
Making puff pastry is so hard.
Why would anybody want to do it?
I mean, unless you're like a trained French chef and you've got time, because the kind that you can buy is pretty good. In fact, Trader Joe's at the holiday season has a puff pastry that is as good as any I've ever bought, and they only carry it during the holidays. But yeah, using that to snuggle up some Gruyere, melt that with sun-dried tomatoes. It's a delightful, easy recipe. We made that one on our TV show, Taste Buds, and my producer, who was a vegan at the time, ate almost the whole thing, and we had to give her LaCroix to break through the cheese because she was in a food coma for the whole afternoon.
By the way, tell us about that TV show, which is coming to Wisconsin.
It is, yes. We'll be in Appleton, Milwaukee, Madison, probably on your Fox or your Sinclair station. We started doing a YouTube show in Minneapolis, and the Fox station here started producing it. And this week, we have syndicated to 85 markets. It's really my pleasure to be able to go out in the field and meet someone who's either a chef or a food producer. And we learn about ingredients or something that's maybe native to their homeland or something that is interesting that a home chef might not know. And then we take that information and we come back into my actual kitchen in my actual house. And we make things that are easy, delicious, and tasty, and things that you can make at home. I'll kind of make it so that it's really the easiest version of it. So, for instance, we did a pasta recipe and a pasta episode where we visited this woman who's making these beautiful pastas. But at home, we just used a flour and water and an egg, and we rolled it out with a rolling pin and cut it. I didn't realize making pasta is so easy.
I didn't either. And if you've got one of those devices.
The Cuisinart or the extruders.
Yeah.
I didn't even have that because I thought people probably don't have that. So I want them to try this anyway. So I literally just rolled it as thin as I could and cut it and made little nests and boiled it. And the sauce I made was just cherry tomatoes, olive oil, and garlic that we roasted in the oven. It couldn't be simpler.
Don in Iron River would like to get a copy of your book, but he doesn't have access to the internet. Any ideas of how he could get the book? He's in Bayfield County, of course, in what we were just talking about, northern Wisconsin.
There are stores in Bayfield that have it.
There are a couple of really good bookstores in Bayfield, which I get up there at least once a year, and I visit both those stores.
Is it Honest Dog?
Yes. So that's
they
one
have
of
it.
They have
I know
it?
They have it. They're great people there.
Yeah, they're wonderful people. So Don in Iron River, that would be one place to go. Or just go to your local bookstore and say, hey, would you order me a copy of True North Cabin Cookbook?
And I think it's in the library system, too.
It's in the library system as well. Polly in Menominee Falls has something for us. Hi, Polly.
Hi, Larry. Does your guest know anything about what to do with a lot of green tomatoes, a recipe? Because I'm going to end up with a whole bunch pretty soon here.
I know what
okay,
you mean.
Okay, hello in Menominee Falls. My Uncle Paul and my Aunt Karen live there. So that's fun. Yes. I always plant tomatoes, and in Ely, Minnesota, I've had entire summers where I've never gotten a red one. What I do with the green tomatoes is I make green tomato salsa. There is a recipe for it on my website at stephaniesdish.com, and I make the salsa and I can it.
And I think you can make a jam out of it, too.
I did just make a tomato jam, but I didn't use the green tomatoes, but you easily could. I've also made a chutney with late season rhubarb and green tomatoes. That's quite good. And that recipe is there as well. I took my best recipes from the cabin and put them in the book, but I've been doing recipes at stephaniesdish.com for over 10 years. And I'm a canner and a pickler. I love, I'm making my own apple cider right now. I'm kind of someone who loves the home ec arts.
I don't know if we have, we may have time for this, but you tell a great story in the book about Thanksgiving and Kurt stuffing.
Yes. My husband is someone that cooks the bird on Thanksgiving. In fact, the first turkey I ever cooked was for Taste Buds with Stephanie on our Thanksgiving episode, and trying to carve it was quite a feat. But he would really work hard on, you know, using the giblets and fancy mushrooms and all of these delicious apricots and raisins, and he would make this beautiful stuffing. And then my family would come over, and it was just too fancy for them. They could not cope. So my sister finally got the nerve, and she said, I really want to come to Thanksgiving, but I'm only coming if you make stuffing just like Mom did, which meant basically the back of the brown berry stuffing package. She said, do not put fruit in it. Do not try to sneak in any necks or gizzards or anything funky, because I'll know and I won't come to Thanksgiving again. We laughed. So now Kurt just follows the recipe on the back of the package.
It's one of the many great side stories that stories of your life. There are some really funny. I mean, there's one on there's some New Year's Eve story. There's obviously the Christmas stories. I love every one of them, and I certainly love grilled jerk chicken with coconut rice and mango salsa. And you know what? When I just, even if I'm just going to grill some chicken, I'm going to make that jerk.
Yeah. And you can even like, you could swap it out. Like you could use peaches instead of the mangoes. That's really good. I've made that with pork chops, or pineapple could be good too. You could use that in place of the mangoes. So kind of trying to keep it seasonal.
Yeah, I was thinking about I thought this would be great with pineapple. There'd be no reason. I mean, I had to sit and watch the pineapples ripen before I could actually use
them. I would probably grill the pineapples too, just to add a little bit of char into the salsa, which would be nice.
Yeah, why didn't I do that? Well, that's because I'm me and you're you, and you know better.
Yeah, you gotta think of the stuff.
Stephanie, it's been a great pleasure talking with you today about your book. And how do we find out about the TV show so that we know when it's coming to Wisconsin?
Yeah, you can go to Taste Buds with Stephanie on social media, also on YouTube. And there were three Wisconsin stations that I sent in the notes for the producer. So maybe they can find that and link where those will be. I'm really excited to come to Wisconsin. You know, it's sort of annoying that the East Coast and the West Coast get all the publicity about food, because we're the breadbasket, right? We're making the best cheese. We have the cows. We have the wheat. We are really doing a lot of the work here. And it's so fun to introduce people to these purveyors and producers and to finally have the Midwest have a moment.
Stephanie, a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being
with us,
Larry. Appreciate it very much. Stephanie Hansen, her book is titled True North Cabin Cookbook. I loved it, and I'll be making more recipes out of that book. I can tell you that for sure. Well, there's always lots to do in Wisconsin, and who better than to tell us about it than Ann Sayer, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. She's next. I'm Larry Mueller.